Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good evening. Praise God, whom all blessings flow. We give God praise tonight. We give God honor. We give him all the glory. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. I pray you had a great day today as we come into our Word Wednesday, excited about the Word of God. The Bible says we ought to study to show that ourselves are approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth, a workman not being ashamed. Glory be to God as we exegete the scriptures of Almighty God on tonight, getting greater revelation, greater understanding of the word of God. So we are here for our Bible study, here for our midweek service, and I thank God for each one of you under the sound of our voice. As you thinking not robbery to come, and allow your spirit to be fed tonight through the word of God. So let us get started with a word of prayer as we're asking God's presence and his blessings upon our time together tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your day that you have made. We really are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Now, Father, we're asking for you to be with us. We're asking for our minds to be strengthened, our hearts to be strengthened, our spirits to be edified tonight in the name of Jesus. Use me to teach and dissect and exegete your word as we look into the study of God's Bible, the Logos Word. May we get great revelation tonight through the word of God. Your Bible says in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and all of our getting to get understanding. So we thank God for a greater understanding, a greater discerning spirit, knowledge, and wisdom that only can come from you, God. Because Lord knows we needed to navigate our lives through the times in which we are living, to stay encouraged, to stay strengthened, to stay godly, to stay in the spirit. We need God's wisdom. So Lord, we thank you tonight, and we give you praise in advance for what you're about to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. To God be all of the glory. To God be all of the glory. Tonight I want to speak from this topic, and it really was birthed and came from how the prayer line ended last night. The prayer line ended last night. It bothered Pastor Rebecca and myself, and we didn't have time to address it or deal with it with about 1 or 2 minutes left. But our last caller, Evangelist, shared some things that kind of sparked what I'm going to talk about tonight. And also, we will address it also at a later date. But the spirit of division is a real thing. Jesus addresses it back in the days of Moses and when he was leading the people across the Red Sea into the Promised Land. God dealt with Korah and so many who tried to sow the spirit of division. Jacob's mother with his brother Esau sowed the spirit of division as Esau and Jacob parted ways and started to hate one another. Well, Esau hated Jacob because he stole his blessing and he stole his birthright. And we see the spirit of division working throughout the word of God. Even all the way back to the time of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, where, glory be to God, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice, and then Cain got jealous of his brother Abel, and the spirit of division even started back then. Amen. So I'm going to talk tonight about fighting against the spirit of division. Amen. Fighting against the spirit of division. Pastor Rebecca and I have been in ministry for over 14 years, and every now and again, and in different seasons, the spirit of division tried to come and disrupt what God is doing in New Creation Church. We know we are a great church. We know we have a great remnant of people. We have a great congregation. We're doing some great things for the kingdom of God. And ain't nobody mad but the devil about that. And sometimes he will use people. Sometimes people don't know that they're being used by the enemy. But nonetheless, they are being used by the devil or trying to be used. Remember when Jesus told Peter to get behind me, Satan. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He loved Peter. But Peter was in error at that time, and Jesus rebuked him sharply, letting him know that I know exactly what I need to do to save, you know, mankind from their sins. And he rebuked Peter. But he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to that spirit that was trying to work through Peter. Come on, somebody. To God be the glory. So tonight I want to talk about fighting against the spirit of division.
Yes.
And we're going to start in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 6.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to start here and look at what Solomon writes about discord and division, how it bothers God. And this is why I think it bothered Pastor Rebecca and myself so much, because we should hate what God hates. And we should dislike what God dislikes. And here is a list that the proverb writer writes, things that God hates. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 2 says, thou art snared with the words of your mouth. Thou art taken with the words of your mouth. In other words, the words that we speak can be detrimental to ourselves. What we allow to come out of our mouths can be a detriment and destructive to us. So we should really think before we speak. We should act out of wisdom and discernment each and every time. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says we are snared by the words that come out of our own mouths. That snare is like a trap. Is like a device or a vice that traps us and stops us and blocks us from having and being all that God wants us to have and be. But look at verse number 16 now. These six things do the Lord hate, yet seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devise wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speak lies, and he, listen to this, people of God, and he that sows discord among the brethren. It says God hates those that bring a divisive spirit or tries to bring a divisive spirit in the midst of the brethren. Now, last night as we were closing out the prayer line, Evangelist made some statements that she loved the way Prophet Jamal prophesies, and she want to eat what he eats, and what he does to us spirit and how he makes us feel. And some of you were there on the prayer line and you heard that. But she went even further, and she said to Pastor Rebecca and myself, brother and sister, right there, that was dishonored, that was not reverenced, that was disrespectful. Brother and sister, you know, Anthony and Rebecca, she said, you guys are okay. But she went back to it. Prophet Jamal, da-da-da-da-da. Now, the Bible warns us in the book of Proverbs about a flattering tongue, a flattering tongue. And we all know in that prayer line that Prophet Jamal is a powerful man of God. You've heard it through me and Pastor Rebecca. You've heard it through people who he prophesied and prayed for. This is why we call upon him to be part of the prayer team, because we know the Spirit of the Lord resides upon this man of God. And we respect and we acknowledge and we honor the oil and the anointing that's on his life. But with that said, we have to be careful, amen, and we have to be careful in how we say what we say. Because the way she said it, she was somewhat dishonoring Pastor Rebecca and myself. And we will address it to, because so many people don't come to Bible study tonight and don't come sometimes to Sunday service, but we have a great prayer line. And we've had this prayer line for years, but we've never experienced anyone with remarks quite like what she did last night, and it bothered both of our spirit. It didn't just bother our spirit, it angered us. And sometimes the Bible says there's correction, rebuke, and there is reproof, and it got to come swiftly. And that's why I'm talking about this tonight, because not that you are the cause of what happened last night, not that you were one that instigated it, but we need to address it and put it into the atmosphere so that the enemy, the devil, we understand spiritual warfare, that the devil won't think he has a foothold or a way into a powerful prayer line that God has given us. People give God praise for that prayer line. We have testimonies coming through that prayer line. We have lives being radically changed and ministries being birthed and people giving accolades, not just to Pastor Rebecca and myself, but the God that's in us. And we're not doing it for filthy lucre. We're not doing it for money. We're not doing it for fame or fortune. We minister. We are pastors because we watch over your soul. But more than that, we are pastors and we are under shepherds because of our love for Jesus, our love for God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we will and we must address the spirit of division and learn how to fight against it. This is why I want to talk about it tonight, not just on the prayer line, but even in the church. We have people, and I'm speaking to you, Pastor, you who are clergy, you who minister. Sometimes you have a spirit of Absalom, as the church refers to it. Y'all know Absalom, David's son, tried to take the kingdom from King David. He got David leaders, and he got David alliances. He got men that honored David at one season to come alongside Absalom, and he tried to take over David's kingdom that God ordained for David to have and reign over. And long story short, Absalom lost his life in war because the mighty men, the men that was faithful to David, were men of great warring skills, and Absalom died in battle trying to take the kingdom from his father. The same with Adonijah, that spirit of division. Even when David was not well enough to defend the kingdom on his own, he had Bathsheba and the prophet Nathan, and he had Solomon, who became king in his stead, that fought against Adonijah that also tried to take the kingdom by force. So the spirit of division is not going to go anywhere. This is why we have to learn how to fight against it. If you are a spouse and you're married, sometimes people listen to Pastor Rebecca and myself, and we have a teaching on boundaries. We have a teaching on putting safeguards around your marriage or your family or your ministry. And boundaries do not mean that you're insecure. Boundaries do not mean that you have a controlling spirit. Boundaries are safeguards that you put around your marriage, that you put around your ministry, you put around your money, you put around that thing in which you value to keep it and sustain it and maintain it. Come on, somebody. So, Pastor Rebecca, we put up boundaries in our marriage. We have boundaries in our ministry. There are certain guidelines and certain rules and regulations that we have in place. And this is why we must address what happened last night. No blame to Prophet Jamal, no blame to anybody else, but Evangelist was out of order. We believe she was in the flesh, and we believe, glory be to God, that she was out of the spirit and just speaking not with wisdom and discernment. And let's see what happens when sometimes we don't use judgment and we don't honor those who need to be honored. Look at what happened in Mark chapter number 6 when we saw dishonor or we see dishonor. Again, we're talking tonight about fighting against the spirit of division. Again, if you're a spouse, you got to fight against that spirit. If you're clergy, you have to fight against that spirit. If you are a politician, we can see through these bipartisan policies, even the Democrats just turned down a bill of legislation trying to talk about police reform. They were not happy. And guess what? They are divided on legislation. And we see it with our last few elections. There's a greater divide, there's a wider divide among our political parties. So we literally see division and the impact, and we see the effect of division, even in our politics with our politicians, the leaders of our great nation. And when we come together, my God, man, the psalmist said, how beautiful it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It was 120 in the upper room. The Bible says they were all on one accord. They had the same agenda. They had the same spirit. They had the same mindset. They had the same, amen, purpose to please their God and wait in the upper room because Jesus gave them commandment to wait. But let's look at Mark chapter number 6, how dishonor can disrupt our lives. Amen. Mark 6:1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin or his own relatives and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work except lay hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And sometimes when people dishonor you or disrespect you or try to dismiss you, they're not honoring the God in you. Amen. They, you know, when over in Acts, when they went against John and they went against Peter, they were fighting against the God in them. And if God be for you, oh, my God, who can be against you? Honor is a powerful thing. David said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Harm tried to come to me and Pastor Rebecca last night. You know, I don't know if she just was ignorant or naive, but to try to belittle somebody or to try to bring somebody down to size or to try to say, you guys are okay. That is a negative statement. That is a statement that devalues the God in us. That is a statement that tries to devalue the mantle and the mandate and the oil and the anointing that's on our lives. We've had that prayer line for years, and we've had many acknowledgments, many accolades. We had many compliments. We have many encouragements and exhortations. And again, this is why it kind of threw us last night for somebody to try to compare us to someone else. And we're going to look at that scripture tonight about comparing and competing, that spirit of division and that spirit that tries to be divisive. Come on, somebody. So we need to know. Jesus said, listen. They dishonored me, and because they didn't honor the God in me and the power that I'm operating from, I could not perform the miracles that I wanted to. My God, my God. Sometimes we cut off our own blessings with our own mouths. That's why I started in Proverbs chapter 6. It said we are snared with the words that come out of our mouths. You're asking for prayer. You're asking for reconciliation with your family. You're asking for God to perform signs, wonders, and miracles in your life. But guess what? These things are conditional. You have to humble your heart. You have to soften your heart. It said God hates pride. He hates those that run to mischief. He hates those who sow discord. Glory be to God. Let's look at another scripture here about honor, and then I'm going to get into some deeper things. But let's look at one more about honor. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Because evangelists, again, I don't know if she knew it or not, but she tried to dishonor the God that's in us. And God gave us that prayer line to pray. You know, we prophesy because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. Pastor Rebecca is in the office of a prophet. She is a seer. She operates from the office of a prophet. I am not a prophet, but the spirit of prophecy comes on me. And when the spirit of prophecy comes on us, God leads us sometimes to prophesy. And we speak what God shows us into the life of the people. But please understand, it is a prayer line. It is not a prophecy line. So we prophesy as the Lord leads us, but it is a prayer line. And we want to see this. We want to see this in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, because this is why the prayer line is so powerful. This is why the prayer line is so powerful, because Pastor Rebecca and I allow God to put certain oil on us. We allow God to work through us. We allow, you know, the will of God. We try to, you know, when Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." He asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Pastor Rebecca and I, still 14 years later, 25 years later, have a love for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. So we are stewards of his church. We are under shepherds. Amen. Hallelujah. And I wasn't going to start at verse 15, but I'm going to start at verse 15. I'm going to start at verse number 15 because it is so much here. Paul is writing to his successor, one of his successors, Timothy. And Timothy is going to take over the churches that Paul birthed. He's going to be an elder sent to these churches. He's going to watch over these churches as an apostle. He's going to continue to learn from the apostle Paul, who pours into him, who mentors him, who teaches him. Amen. Already laid hands on Timothy. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 15. "For some are already turned aside after Satan." Paul is saying some people who are serving God and going after God have already left the things of God and now chasing after the devil, after Satan. Verse number 16, "If any man or woman that believes have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." Here's the point I want to get to. About honor. Say honor. It says, verse 17, 1 Timothy 5, 17. "Let the elders," we are pastors, but we are also elders. We are pastors, we are elders, we are clergy. Amen. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor," not just single honor. But he said, if you're doing this church thing right, if you're leading right, if you're leading with love and not an interior motive and not a wrong agenda, you are worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That's what I'm doing tonight. I got a word from the Lord for you about fighting against the spirit of division. We are right now looking at doctrine. We are looking at the Logos, written word of God. We are right now in the Bible. So it says, those of us who do this in labor are worthy of double honor. And many of you honor me and Pastor Rebecca. You tithe, you sow into our lives, you encourage us, you exhort us, you honor us, you submit to us, you come alongside of us, you help the ministry, you help the church, you sow into the church. And we don't take that for granted because we know God sent you to us. We know you're like the Aaron and Hurs holding up our arms. Because the devil trying to destroy New Creation Church. The gates of hell hope that this church goes away. The devil is coming against God's church. But the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. Look at verse number 18. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that tread out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. It says that we are worthy of our reward. When you sow money into our life, when you give us a card on our birthday, when you celebrate us on church anniversary, when you celebrate us our pastor's anniversary, when the Lord put us in your spirit and on your heart, and you say, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Rebecca, I just want to give you a love offering. When you call us and say, I'm praying for you, man of God. I'm praying for you, woman of God. Guess what? That's us being worthy of our reward. That's us, hallelujah, the laborer is worthy of his reward. So we thank God for all of you who are continuing to be faithful to our church, faithful to me and Pastor Rebecca, faithful to New Creation Church. We thank God for you. David had the mighty men way before he became king, way before he became prominent, way before he got Judah and Jerusalem to submit to him. And some of you have been with us for years, and we thank God for you. Look at verse number 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, that's why we're bringing this public. We're not trying to do this in private. It was spoken in public. We will address it in public. It says, bring it to two or three witnesses if there's an accusation or there's a correction, a reproof, a rebuke. Let people witness it. And here's the reason why. Verse number 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Them that sin, and that was a sin last night, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. And that word fear is not being scared or being afraid, but it's saying, let's show reverence. Let's show honor. Let's walk in love one toward another. Those statements and those comments last night did not come to build me and Pastor Rebecca. It came to tear us down. But no weapon against us will prosper. Glory be to God. Every wagging tongue shall be condemned, and no weapon against us will or can prosper. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Oh, I got to deal with this tonight. I got to deal with this tonight. 1 Corinthians. Pastor Rebecca was talking to me about this scripture earlier. God placed this one in her spirit, and I think we need to see it tonight as we are talking about learning how to fight against the spirit of division. That spirit may try to come into your home. Pastor, that spirit may try to come into your church. A business owner, that spirit may try to come into your business. Those of you who just love people and who are helping and love your community. That spirit of division may try to rise up and come and disrupt what God has ordained, and you got to fight against it. Let's look at how the Apostle Paul, who writes to the church at Corinth, deals with it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And again, we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to go a little deeper later. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. My God, my God, my God. You can be chronologically older in years. You can be a senior citizen. You can be an elder. You can be old in age. But in the things of the spirit, you can be like a baby. You can be immature. And that's what Paul is saying. You can still be carnal, and yet you can be older than most people in the natural. He says in verse number 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Paul is saying, I want to give you deeper revelation. I want to call you on the carpet and give you greater understanding and revelation of God's word, what he's calling you to do in this season. That's why when Pastor Rebecca spoke into Sister Maria's life, she was seeing from a spiritual, from a heavenly realm. That Sister Maria, glory be to God, hallelujah, that Sister Maria had an anointing and had an unction from God before she was in her mother's womb. Yes, she's a psalmist. Yes, she sings, but she loves people. She ministers. Even when she led Prophet Jamal to the prayer line, that means she was sharing her faith with him. That means it was something about her, her excitement about the prayer line, her excitement about her walk with God that compelled him to come to the prayer line. So there was something in her that he saw, and now he's connected to the prayer line. She's connected to the prayer line. There's something that Deacon Carmen saw in Sister Maria, and now God is calling her to minister to people. Because it's more than just singing. Share your testimony. Share the gospel. Come a little higher. And Prophet Rebecca spoke into her life, speaking from another realm, another sphere, seeing what God was seeing as it pertained to Sister Maria's life. And we're going to go a little deeper later, but listen to what he says in verse number 3. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And I said, God, you know, even as I'm still rolling this kind of thing around in my spirit, what happened last night, I'm like, if that was intentional or unintentional, what was behind that? Well, what would compel somebody to try to bring us down a notch or two? You know, sometimes it's envy, it's jealousy, or try to put us back in our place, or too many people giving us accolades and acknowledgments. Why would a negative connotation come on such a powerful prayer night? Because Prophet Jamal was flowing. Prophet Rebecca was flowing. Deacon Carmen was flowing. The people were receiving. I prayed, and our prayer team prayed, and people were sharing about the goodness of God. And at the end of the night, the last 2 minutes of the prayer line, the enemy tried to come in. And I said, Lord, what was that all about, where we could not just hang up the phone and leave from a mountaintop experience on a high? All the craziness that's going on in our world, we have an hour and a half prayer line where people are positive, people are spiritual, people are loving on one another, people are pulling for each other, people are encouraging each other, people are bearing one another burdens. What in the world would compel or allow someone to speak such nonsense, such foolishness into such a powerful atmosphere. Listen to verse number 6. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, are y'all hearing God? Neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants, he that waters are one. That's what I'm talking about. We got to be on the same accord. We have different roles. We have different functions. We have different gifts. We have different anointings. But we're on the same team. And every man that shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together. Are you hearing God? We are together with God. We are co-laborers with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's builders. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Paul says, I'm a master builder. I'm laying a foundation. I have laid the foundation. And another builds on it. But let every man take heed how he builds. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are all building for Christ. We are all building for the kingdom. Come on. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Paul is saying, our buildings, our ministry, whatever we're trying to do for God is going to be tested by fire. This is not our first rodeo. This is not me and Pastor Rebecca first time going against that spirit and fighting against that spirit of division. This is not our first. And this is why we know how to handle it and deal with it, where it won't be like a cancer trying to spread. I'll never forget, years ago, we went away to Florida, and we came back, and we left some people in charge, and we came back, and the spirit of division tried to meet us when we got back to New Jersey. Some people in the church, they no longer with the ministry, but the spirit of division tried to rise up in our church, and we had to deal with it. And some of them people are no longer with us. But God is with us. That's all that counts. Come on, somebody. I want to go a little deeper tonight, so let's just close out here in verse number 22 and 23. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Peter or the world or life or death, things present or things to come are all your own, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. What he's saying here is that they were saying at the church of Corinth, and if you read, this was written around 56 or 55 A.D. A.D. means after death. B.C. means before Christ. So this is about 55 years after Jesus died and was resurrected and went to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Paul is now writing to the church at Corinth, a powerful church. They had a lot of money. They had a lot of spiritual gifts. They had people with great anointing. It was a church, and Corinth was like New York City. It was just a prominent area. Some were saying, I follow Peter. I'm of the church of Peter. Peter baptized me. I'm following Peter. Peter got it going on. And then other people yelled out, well, you can go ahead and follow Peter. I'm following Apollos. That's my brother. That's my dude. That's my man. Apollos got it going on. He actually poured into Peter. He actually poured into Paul, and I'm following Apollos because the hand of the Lord is on Apollos, and Apollos is doing ABC for the kingdom. So I follow Apollos. And then some were saying, glory be to God, you can go ahead and follow Peter. You can go ahead and follow Apollos, but I'm going to follow Paul. Paul went to the third heaven. Paul was stoned and survived death. The apostle Paul is planting churches all over the place. He's an apostle, and he said, I'm greater than all the other apostles. And then Paul got a bigger following than all the rest of them. Guess what? Paul was saying, y'all acting like babies. Y'all comparing churches. Y'all are comparing spiritual gifts and anointings. Y'all are acknowledging. The Bible says, how can we have anything unless we receive it from the Lord? You're trying to compare a Billy Graham, a Miles Monroe, a Joel Osteen, a Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Jones, Pastor Jamal. You know, we're trying to compete and compare, or that spirit tries to downplay. The Bible says God set them in order as he sees fit. We are pastoring New Creation Church. That's our role. That's our mandate. That is our assignment. We're not trying to be the next T.D. Jakes. We're not trying to be the next Miles Monroe or Billy Graham. We're just trying to be, God bless his soul, Pastor. Oh, my God. My wife and I love Brother Greg Carter. He's now with the Lord. And when Pastor Rebecca wrote her books, he worked at Sharon Plow, the pharmaceutical company. And Greg promoted so many of Pastor Rebecca's books. He sold so many of her books because he believed in her ministry through her books. And God blessed her through this man of God. He was like one of our greatest sales reps. But he one time said to Pastor Rebecca, why can't Pastor Anthony just be Pastor Anthony? Just like you, Pastor Rebecca. Y'all are so great as yourselves. And she and I are not trying to be anybody but ourselves. And that's what God is saying to somebody tonight. Be genuine. Be authentic. Be yourself. You are a designer's original. You are a designer's original. My God, my God. Before we go to the next scripture, I just want to go to a positive note real quick. And it's going to be positive even when I close out tonight. But next we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I told you I just want to go just a little deeper. But let's look at this first. Let's go look at this first. Look at Psalm number 139. You are a designer's original, baby. And God, when he made you, he broke the mold. Glory be to God. Psalm 139. Hallelujah. And this is what God says about to you, everyone I'm speaking to on this prayer line. So don't let anybody speaking to you, you know, your house is nice, but look at your neighbor's house. You work at this job, but you're not the boss. You can preach, but you can't preach like so-and-so. You can sing, but you can't sing like so-and-so. You got a following, but you don't have many followings as so-and-so. You selling books, but you're not that bestseller yet. You know, you do this, but you're not that. And people will try to downplay you or try to bring you down to size because they're threatened by the oil and the anointing and the favor of God that's on your life. You are an original, and God wants to use you just as you are. Look at Psalm 139, verse number 14. I will praise thee For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knoweth right. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did not my substance, yet being imperfect, and in the book of all my members were written, which is continuous, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. My God, my God. How precious also are your thoughts to me. That's Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts of an expected end. I know the plans I have towards you. I know the thoughts I think towards you of good and not of evil. The psalmist writes, oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. My God, my God. The Bible says to you tonight that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you should full know. Don't let nobody talk down to you. Don't let nobody dishonor you. Don't let no one disrespect you. Don't allow or let anyone dismiss you. There's an anointing on your life. There's an oil on your life. There's a reverence from God on your life. You have gifts from God in the name of Jesus. That's why the Bible said he gave some one, he gave some three, and he gave some ten. He gave some one, and he gave some five, and he gave some ten. I'm not trying to compete with the one that got ten. I'm not trying to compete with the one that got five. I'm not trying to compete with the one that gave one. All glory be to God. However many gifts he gave you, use them. Glory to God. That's why Pastor Rebecca wrote 10 books. 10. She is in double digits because she's using her gifts. Every book that's supposed to be birthed out of her before she meet Jesus, she's going to write it. I know my wife. She told me the other day, I got books in my computer. Glory be to God, that I didn't know I had. And they will be published. She got books in her spirit. She got titles in her mind. Because guess what? God gave her the gift of authorship. She's like a ready pen, ready to write. And she's blessing women. They're coming back and rising up and calling her blessed. Glory be to God. And her book is blessing many people. But I want to look at this scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Pastor Rebecca and I got a wealth in this area of ministry. And sometimes, you know, there are people that say, you know, there's such a thing, Pastor Anthony, called church hurt. Church hurt is a real thing. And I don't want to dismiss you, and I don't want to put you in denial, but sometimes we have to allow this thing called church hurt or people hurting us in the church, not allowing that to push us away from our church or to push us away from our mandate or our ministry, because sometimes people will say the wrong thing. Sometimes the wrong words and hurtful words will come out of someone's mouth that cut and they're damaging. You know, we all heard it, sticks and stones can't break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Words can be very hurtful. words can be very damaging. And Pastor Rebecca and I are human. We have real emotions. And we love everybody. We really do. We love everyone. But when God calls us to correct, and sometimes, you know, as a charge to us, we just love people. We're on a prayer line. We're not asking for a lot of money. We're prophesying. We're not asking for a lot of offerings and sowing. And some of you sow willfully because you've been receiving and you're blessed by what we're saying, what we do, how we pour out without wanting anything in return. I work hard at FedEx, and I thank God he gives me a good salary. Pastor Rebecca works hard as an entrepreneur, and she makes a good salary. And God has sustained us since we had the church. For years, God allowed us to even pour into the church out of our own finances. This is how much we love God. And we have sowed and we have sown into God's kingdom. Guess what? We are storing up treasures in heaven. Oh! Because we're going to get it well done. When we cross over from this side of life into that side, we're going to be like the Apostle Paul. A crown of glory is waiting for me and my wife. Glory to God. My God, I ain't going to have time to break this down like I want to, but let's look at it. Let's look at it. I'm going to break it down enough, and we're going to close out. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I told you I ain't going to have time to break this down like I want to, but let's talk about it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And I may spend more time in this next week, because we're talking tonight about fighting against the spirit of division. And that's what Paul is, he's addressing the church of Corinth. They had a lot of drama. They had a lot of dysfunction. They had a lot of things they were doing wrong as it related to the church. And now Paul is bringing correction through this letter, through this epistle. So he said, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, a prophet can be corrected by another prophet, and a prophet can submit to another prophet. But it says that as you're trying to prophesy over one another, you're trying to talk over one another, you're trying to sow a spirit of disagreement. And let me just say this. Just because we disagree, it doesn't mean that we're divided or we're divided. I'm not talking about creating a clone or creating a robot. We can agree to disagree. It doesn't mean that's the spirit of division. You don't have to think like me and Pastor Rebecca. You don't have to do everything the same way we do it or believe the same way we do. But we know we hear from God. I know when I teach, I'm under the anointing of God. And I'm giving you what God gives me. But God is not the author of confusion. And that spirit tried to bring confusion unto our prayer line. Because we love Prophet Jamal, and Prophet Jamal loves us. But evangelists tried to put him against us or us against him, saying, y'all can prophesy and y'all can pray, but Prophet Jamal. And guess what? That spirit tried to come in. And he's mature enough, and we're mature enough to bring it down. But I'm not going to have time to deal with this the way I want to deal with it. My God. Look at that next verse. Let the women keep silence in the churches. man, I want to deal with this thing right here. I want to you know, one time me and Pastor Rebecca went to a church, and they had separated the men and the women, and she was part of the clergy, but I believe she was the only female clergy there, and it was an affirmation service for an apostle, and they set all the men on one side and set her on one side, and she, that thing bothered her spirit, because we came out of a church where the second in command was a female, Pastor Glover Williams, Bishop Hilliard was the pastor, and he believed in women, you know, ministering and women having a rightful place in God's church, and that's why I had to point out when this epistle was written, 56 years after the death of Christ. We're now in the year 2020, and things have changed drastically. Oh, I might pick this up next week. But let's go all the way to the end, and I'm going to close out. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. But I may pick up this, let women be silent in the church. I may pick that up again next week, because Pastor Rebecca prayed and prophesied last night. Deacon Carmen prayed last night. We had women along with the men doing the work of the ministry on our prayer line. And God is no respecter of persons. We're going to look at that again next week, maybe. Bond nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Greek. We need to, people of God, we need discernment. We need greater wisdom. If we had greater wisdom and understanding, that wouldn't have happened last night. You know, Elder was new to the prayer line. Maybe she don't know, because Pastor Rebecca and I, you know, we're so nice, but we're not that nice. Don't put us in the nice category when it comes to the things of God. We love everybody. We really do. But we were offended last night. We were offended. And this is why we're dealing with it. We may deal with it on Sunday or Tuesday, but we have to address it to not allow it to become a poison or toxic to our prayer line. Amen. Let everything be done decently in order, and God is not the author of confusion. I'm going to close out. Father, we thank you for tonight. We know how to fight against that spirit of division a little better. So, God, I thank you and I praise you. God, we love everybody in New Creation Church, the prayer line, Word Wednesday, Sunday services. We know that you work through us and lives are radically changed for the better. So I bind up any divisive spirit. We take authority and we tear down any spirit of discord that tries to make its way into our midst. And we rebuke it and we bind it up in the name of Jesus. You're not the author of confusion. So God, we give our church to you. We give our prayer line to you. And we give this ministry to you. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everyone. I love you. I really do. Pastor Rebecca loves you. She really do. We love Elder. She was in error. She was in the flesh. It was operating out of the spirit of witchcraft, and we had to deal with it. But we, glory be to God, are going to allow God to continue to use us in Jesus' name. Good night, everyone. We love you, and we'll see you on Sunday. Please sow a seed into the ministry. Every dollar, every 50, every 100, every 1,000 is helping us do the work of the Lord, and we thank you for it. $NCCM Church, $NCCM Church. That's our cash app, nccmonline.org. That's our online giving. And also, you know, you can go to the P.O. box and give that way through our P.O. box address. Love you. Good night. See you all Sunday at 12:30. Have a blessed evening. Good night, everyone. Love you. Good night. God bless.